All right, let's talk to the Diddy. Ray Dittinger joins us every single Monday at this time. First time in a couple years, as of a couple weeks ago, that Ray is a weekly guest on a show the day after an Eagles game to break it all down. We're so proud that Ray is with us every Monday at this time. He's brought to us by Verizon. Of course, phones, you know, not made to be broken, but life happens. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's gotcha. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition guaranteed and get a great deal on one of the best 5G phones with unlimited ultimate. We welcome the Hall of Famer, Ray Diddy. Good morning, Ray Diddy.
Morning, Joe. I guess that's what it tells you all you need to know was that last little clip there that Merle Reese is welcoming the bye. I mean,
you can't. I know.
Merle Reese is welcoming a week off.
It's so bad.
That's where you are right now.
So
that's where you are right now.
Ray, there's so many ways to go, and we'll ultimately get to all the main topics. But I want to just throw what I think are the three main topics in one question and get you to give this answer. Which is the biggest issue with the Eagles? Is it A, the defense, B, Jalen Hurts, or C, Nick Sirianni?
Coach, number three. Number three. We could sit here and talk about all three of them. we could talk about all three of them now for the rest of the morning, and you probably will. But if you ask me what's my big takeaway from yesterday? It's the head coach. It's the head coach. Here's a guy that preaches discipline, fundamentals, taking away the big play and not turning the ball over. The team's not doing any of it. So somewhere along the line, there's a disconnect. between the head coach and the locker room, and that ain't good. That ain't good. When you're having that conversation week four of the season, you got problems.
Right? Doesn't this spring from the fact that the team's respect is in question here? The team needs to respect the head coach, Ray, and it feels like that is lacking.
Yeah, I do. I sure feel that way. I mean, listen, I was one of the people that kind of bought into what we saw in New Orleans and said, "Oh, okay, well, this is more reflective of what this team is. They're better. They're certainly better than what they showed us against Falcons." And they kind of got it back on track now. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a big win going on the road, playing a hot team, coming out of there with a win. Yeah, okay, I think they got it back. And then yesterday, walking back into the stadium where you closed your last season with basically a no-show performance and doing it all over again, that's troubling on like every conceivable level. But you start with the head coach,
right?
And to his credit, I will say, if you watched his post-game presser, I mean, he owned it.
He
owned it right from the beginning and said, "It's on me. It's on me. It's on me." And I honestly don't think it was lip service. I honestly think he feels that way. And you know what? He's right in feeling that way.
I thought Sirianni and Hurts both said all the right things after the game. We didn't get the Hurts Yoda-isms. Like he owned it, and Sirianni owned it, and I did appreciate that.
He's right in feeling that way, but does he know?
Well, you got to do something
how to
about
fix it.
It?
Does he know how to do it better? I don't think he does. I don't think he's shown that he does.
Right. Let's get to the reality of this bye week as it relates to Sirianni today or tomorrow. Do you think there is a chance that Lurie will fire him in the next 48 hours?
No.
I agree. Listen, Ray was a dead man walking in 98, survived the whole year. Andy was a dead man walking in 2012, survived the whole year. I don't think he gets fired either.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I wouldn't advocate that. I wouldn't call for that right now. But what you're seeing is really concerning. I mean,
when, Ray? Why not now? I know it just feels crazy, but there is an opportunity here. You know, we don't have another official bye. There's a window.
Yeah, a window to jump out of is basically what it amounts to. I don't see it, John. I just don't. I mean, first of all, where are you going to go? Is it going to be Vic Fangio? I doubt it. I'm guessing if you did it, you'd probably do it with Kellen Moore. because you know that's the way this team just rolls. I mean, they go young offensive coaches. That's their MO. So if they were to make a change, it'd be Kellen Moore, who's never been a head coach before. So no, I don't see that happening.
Fangio feels like a nice interim who could bridge to Belichick.
Listen, maybe, but I'll just say this, Ray. The two times where the Eagles that I can remember in the last 15 years making a dramatic change in the middle of a year were a disaster. When Castillo got let go as defensive coordinator halfway through the year and Todd Bowles came in, the defense was worse. When Desai got let go last year and Patricia came in, the defense was worse.
Yeah.
I know it's tempting to say fire Sirianni, but I just don't think in this sport it typically works because of how interconnected the whole operation is. All right, and Ray, I want to get to some other topics.
Just to finishing up on that one point. If you really were at the point, if you really were that shaky about the guy's coaching, then you should have let him go at the end of last season.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
You know, I mean, if you're really having those thoughts now, 4 weeks into the next season, then you should have let him go in January.
That's right.
You know, once you recommitted to him after last season, and I got to tell you, well, we may have even had this conversation, but in all the years I've been around football, I can't ever remember anywhere with any team, no matter how messed up the organization is, that a season ends, but all the coordinators get fired, but the head coach comes back. I've never seen that before. Now, I'm not saying it was a mistake. At the time, I said I didn't think that Nick was going to get fired, and he didn't. And I wasn't calling for him to be fired. But to see all of that whole next level of coaches get swept out the door, but the head coach comes back, I've never seen that before. And so, I mean, that in itself was a little surprising to me. But now here you are four weeks in. Your team's a mess. You know, I look at the Bucks, and you know, I heard so much, and we even talked about it. I mean, you know, Todd Bowles, you know, he's going to blitz, he's going to get pressure, and and everybody's talking about him and his defense as if it's this meat grinder, and they had two sacks in the first three games. It's not like what he's doing is tearing the league apart. It tears this team apart.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But most of the other teams have figured out a way to combat that. Why hasn't this team been able to do that in multiple occasions? That to me is very concerning.
All right, Ray, and by the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Reminder, Seth Joyner with us in an hour from 9 to 10. Ray with us every Monday at this time. Ray, let's get to the quarterback. So I actually think it's a bigger issue than Sirianni just because that position and that contract. I think Sirianni will be gone sort of soon, end of the year. I think Hurts won't be too far behind him. Where do you stand big picture now with Jalen Hurts and his career as the franchise quarterback or perhaps not much longer franchise QB of the Eagles?
Well, you know, I would like to just sort of still the waters here and be able to say, no, everything's okay. You know, he's going through a rough patch here, but everything will be fine. Because I don't really believe that. I think there's genuine reason to be concerned here. And it's, as with all things and with all football teams and all football seasons, everybody tries to narrow it down to the quarterback, and it's never just the quarterback. So a lot of what's happening with this team is happening on multiple fronts. But ultimately, you know, it does come back to him in many ways. And he's just, I'm just really kind of baffled with the way he's playing right now. Because, you know, there's a part of me that says, I know he's better than this. And I keep thinking each week is going to be the week that he kind of comes out of it. But the further along we go and the deeper we get, you know, it's harder to find the light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, just the moments yesterday in that game, when he's standing in the pocket and he's holding the ball, and when you know that turning the ball over has been a real problem with this team, and you know that that's the one thing that you can't afford to do, and yet he's doing it, you know. And it couldn't have been a more dramatic display on the same field on the same day between he and Baker Mayfield. I mean, there's Baker Mayfield, the ball coming out, and you know, I don't think he's any Hall of Famer. But he's okay. But what makes him effective on days when he's effective is he's getting rid of that ball like right now. and you have your quarterback standing there. And I know the two big receivers are gone and everything, but there has to be a way you can work around that. And you saw the key to this game was that the Buccaneers had a plan where they were going to come out and they were going to get rid of the ball quick and they were going to neutralize the Eagles' pass rush, because last week the Bucs got, you know, Mayfield got sacked 7 times. Well, we're not going to let that happen again. We're going to get rid of the ball quick. Well, if your team is a team that turns the ball over too much because your quarterback's getting hit in the pocket, then you better find a way to do that. Well, the Buccaneers found a way around it, and the Eagles did not.
That's right. Ray, I want to get to the defense. Let me give you a hypothetical here. Jalen starts playing better. He starts looking like a top 10 quarterback again, and that settles down the offense. But can they get to 11 wins with this defense? Is it even reasonably possible that they can become a quality team with this defensive personnel this year?
Not the way they played yesterday. If they played the way they played in New Orleans, you could. See, that to me is the real – that's kind of where I am right now this morning, looking back on this thing, is I don't know what they are. You know, I don't know what they are. I mean, in a space of 7 days, we went from saying – boy, this defense played really good, which they did.
Yep.
I mean, New Orleans, they played really well.
When they
looked inept. You know, I mean, they went
tired
to the game in New Orleans against what I think is a better offensive team, and won the game because the defensive line played really good and because everybody at every level tackled really well, to a game yesterday where they couldn't tackle anybody. I mean, I went through that game again last night. I've seen all different numbers of people saying how many missed tackles. I came up with 18. And you're not going to win in the National Football League if you miss 18 tackles. I don't care who you're playing against. So right now, you know, Joe, that's the hard part. It would be easier if we could just sit here and say, "Oh, this team is terrible." I mean, they can't get out of their own way. The defense can't stop anybody. Can't say that, because a week ago we saw them stop the number one defense, that number one offense in the league. Then yesterday they fall on their face. So that's what makes this frustrating, is you're saying, okay, which is the real team? And coming out of the bye, what team are we going to see? I don't know. I'm not optimistic. I can't be optimistic after what I saw yesterday. But a week ago we saw them play really well. So, you know, I don't know where we stand. I really don't know where we stand. At 2-2, you know, you're in it. You're still in it. But you're not going to be in it long if you play the way you played yesterday.
Ray, well said. We love having you on the show, Ray. Thanks so much. Looking forward to talking to you next week. And obviously in the month of October, as long as the Phillies last, we'll be doing a lot of Phillies coverage with you as well. Thanks, Ray.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, there he is, the Diddy. Wild day in baseball today with the Braves and the Mets. Implications for the Braves, Mets, and Diamondbacks for who's going to make the playoffs. We'll track that later in the day, obviously. But, you know, interesting to watch later today if you get the chance. Phils are just waiting. Now they're just waiting for Saturday, which will be game one of the NLDS at Citizens Bank Park. Obviously, all the games here on WIP, Phillies. As long as they last in the playoffs, let's hope they last a long time. You know, we've been talking, you know, almost exclusively about the Eagles today, in many ways breaking down the game and kind of the season. But, James, give me your thoughts here on, you know, I think we're doing, you know, I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back, but we, the collective, the callers, us, a good job on the specific issues. But can you just frame in your mind the disappointment you feel knowing that what we see just might be what we got this year? Like, we're 4 games in. They haven't even turned October yet. This just does not feel like a season that's going to yield, forget glory, like anything close to it.
Yeah. No, it's, and look, it's only a month into the season.
Yep.
I know that. I mean, last year the Packers were 9-8 and they went on a run. Like, stuff can happen.
No question.
But yeah, it's very deflating. Like, I feel deflated today. And like, hopeless isn't the right word, because there is hope, but it feels hopeless in a way, because, you know, it just feels like they're so far from where they'll need to be. And I don't believe in the people, the most important people, the way I used to.
All right, I want to get to the Twitter poll question of the day and get all of us on the record right now and then right to the phone. So, Twitter poll questions. We got two of them brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, do you think the Eagles should fire Sirianni during the bye week? Which, of course, if they're going to do it, would be, you know, let's be real, today or tomorrow. Do you think they should can Nick? All right, yes or no? I'm a no. Rhea, you said you're a no.
No.
James, you are a
I'm a no, but I wouldn't be upset if they did. Okay. You know what I mean?
Sure. John?
That's for sure. I would not be upset. I don't know for sure that it would not be so disruptive. It would be more of a negative than a positive at this stage, this crazy early
stage
of the
season. Does my
decide
comment from earlier today move you a little bit more? Like last year, that was a fiasco. And believe it or not, as bad as Juan Castillo was as D coordinator, when Todd Bowles got in there in 2012, remember that, Rhea?
Yes, I do.
Four straight games, the opposing quarterback had a perfect passer rating.
It was four straight games.
Yeah.
Todd Bowles is difficult for me. Because of Temple, and like he sucked here, and then he's been really good for the Bucks against the Eagles. So it's like it's very hard.
He got into a sinking ship though at the end of that 2012. That was brutal. John, would you fire Nick today?
I would think about it long and hard, but I don't think I would do it.
But you're very tempted.
I am very tempted.
Okay. All right. Second poll question. Which is the biggest issue with the Eagles? Now let me say, we purposely left this poll question open-ended. We didn't specify which is the biggest issue with this team this year or which is the biggest issue with the franchise long-term. You be the judge how you want to answer it. The three choices, obviously, for biggest issue. The defense, Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni. I would vote for Jalen Hurts because it's the quarterback, because of the $250 million contract, and because we know if you have to move off of him, and I think they will in the next year or two, if you don't get that Jaden Daniels kind of guy, you know, you can spin the merry-go-round of the 25th to 35th best quarterback for 3 or 4 years until you land your next guy, or longer.
Jalen looked like Washington. That Jaden Daniels kind of guy when he first started playing. Remember that?
No, I remember it well. I mean, one of my fears is that you move off Hurts, you don't have a top-five pick, you don't get that dude.
You don't
who's the guy?
Because
remember this, at the end of Randall, they had 4 years. In between Randall and Donovan, they had 4 years of Rodney Pete, Ty Detmer, Coy Detmer, and Bobby Hoyne. You're just spinning the wheel. And I fear that, you know, they could be headed toward that. Now you hope not.
Do you think Jalen is on the same level as Bobby Hoyne?
No, I'm saying if they move off of Jalen.
If they move off, what it could be in between, like Kenny Pickett, for example.
Yeah. Oh, God, no.
Now,
please.
The Bucs have done a pretty good job with Baker Mayfield. He was one of those guys, and he's given them more than expected. Geno Smith has given Seattle more than expected. Rhea, which do you think is the biggest issue, defense, Hurts, Sirianni?
Oh, the defense, 100%. Sirianni's not running anything as far as I'm concerned, so I don't even think about it. I mean, I'm sorry.
That's a great way to look at it.
I can't get all worked up about firing a guy who's not in control of anything, okay? So I think Jalen.
Don't you think that deflates the team to some degree? We have a figurehead head coach who's just like a lackey walking around like
But I don't think that's actually true. I think it's, you know.
I didn't say lackey. I just said I don't think that he's that. I don't think he's in charge of the defense.
Right.
You know, the offense, I don't buy that he's over. You know, my thing is the offense will get better when A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Lane Johnson. There's no question in my mind.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
I mean, I would have put Kellen Moore on there, too, because you look at Baker Mayfield. Did they not adjust what they needed to do for him?
Yes, they did.
Ball out quick.
Yep.
Either Jalen might be a little uncoachable or they're not changing up schemes to make things better. It was real simple. You just used Barkley in the passing game, in the run game more yesterday. 12 touches is criminal.
But I will say, you know my theory, and I've been saying it for at least a year, I just don't think Jalen does a good job as point guard guy getting the ball out fast. If you want to try to make him that kind of quarterback, I think it'll fail because I just don't think he has it.
Try it.
I know you could. Yeah, all right, James.
He can do that. I mean, that is
I don't think he can.
He can't distribute the ball?
I don't think effectively enough.
Quickly.
There's a difference between doing it.
Like, I don't think you can like just sit and read the field quick and throw it out quick. Like
a lot of people,
you know, Burrow or those type of guys
said that about Josh Allen when he came out of Wyoming.
Yeah, well,
people were saying that about Baker Mayfield.
He was in his first year. John, Jalen's in his fifth year. And here's my thing.
I get that. Baker Mayfield was in his 10th year 2 years ago.
It's not 10th. But here's what I'll say about Baker and Geno Smith and Sam Darnold and those guys that maybe Jalen's headed to that type of thing. Go play elsewhere.
I played with Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon, who did not do anything.
I get it. And Jim Plunkett, there are guys
in his career.
Those are the exceptions.
Are the exceptions. That's number one.
And they happen.
No, they do happen. But here's my thing on Jalen. Unless he really improves a lot soon, i.e. this year, let that be someone else's problem somewhere else. Like, if he figures it out in year 7, 8, or 9 the way Geno Smith did, good for him. God bless him. I'm not going to root against Jalen Hurts. But I don't want to pay him $250 million, i.e. $50 million a season for this. It's not worth it. Not good enough. James,
this is part of what you do with a young quarterback.
But you're, he's not that young.
He is still young.
He's not that young.
He is young in the world of quarterback.
But John, he's in year
at these guys. We protect them so they play until they're 40.
But he's in year five and played at Oklahoma and Alabama. This is a North Dakota State guy.
26 years old.
Year five. Playing the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
I know.
I mean, he's been around the block.
He was extremely young when he was almost the MVP of the Super Bowl.
James, give me an answer. Biggest issue, defense, Hurts or Sirianni?
It's Hurts, and it's not even a question.
Why?
For me. Because he's the most important, and he's a disaster right now. Again, like Ray said it perfectly, you go into that game, if you're Jalen Hurts, knowing the single most important thing that you can't do in this game, where you're at a disadvantage, all that, is turn the ball over, and the guy can't help himself. Like, I think Hurts is the clear answer.
You know what actually was another major issue yesterday we haven't talked much about? He's rarely this, but he was yesterday. Just inaccurate.
I mean, over the head of Dotson.
He just wasn't, his passes.
And I've never thought that his arm strength was a huge issue.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not that strong an arm. And if he's going to keep making decisions like this, his arm can't bail him out. That's the thing with Josh Allen. Josh Allen might make some dumb decisions, but he's got a freaking cannon. And it bails him out of some of these things.
And I saw Baker Mayfield throw fastballs like that one that was a similar
throw. There's a reason Baker was the first pick in the draft. Dude's got an arm.
He does have an arm. John, biggest issue of the three, which is it?
Neck.
Where do you go next, defense or Hurts?
Sure, Jalen, but it's a distant second.
Okay, so you got Nick as number one. Yeah. All right, let's get
The attitude is impossibly poor. The preparedness is non-existent. That is, we are taking on the personality of our head coach, which is the last thing in the world I ever wanted. This is not good.
Okay. Let's get a lot of calls in here. Seth Joyner with us in a half an hour. Let's talk to Mike right now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, gang. So we are a rudderless ship devoid of any leadership, and I have turned a corner as of last night. I was a Nick guy. I'm now out. We're talking about, you know, harsh assessment in this bye week. Who is going to deliver the harsh assessment? We don't have a head coach. Okay? This is such a dysfunctional, this is an organizational failure that comes from the top, but I'm going to echo what Tom said earlier. We can't blame Jeffrey. We can't blame Howie. So we go next in line.
Well, hold on, Mike. You very much can. They're not going to be gone, but it was... Mike, hang on. It was Lurie and Howie that decided to bring back Nick.
Yeah.
After 9 days.
You very, 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 very much can blame them for that decision, and you can blame Howie with tons of roster decisions that haven't worked out.
So you can, but if it's not going to change, save your breath. That's my point.
Okay.
So it comes next in line. You know, we're talking about blocking and tackling is a fundamental phrase for a reason, because it's fundamental. And if you can't do that, nothing else matters. Jeff Joyner has the greatest quote of all time. I can't wait to listen to him in a little while. It's either taught or it's tolerated. So I'm going to go on a limb and say this garbage that we're watching is not taught, but it has clearly been tolerated. And why is that? Because we have a head coach, quote unquote, who is strictly there to prepare the team, which they clearly were not yesterday, to put in a culture in place that clearly is completely dysfunctional because you have team leaders tweeting garbage after the game, how great they are. This team is a disaster. And it finally hit me last night. And forget the players. Jalen, yeah, we could talk about Jalen all day long. The players are just the output of the dysfunction that is in the executive suite and what's on the sideline. So you want to talk about you would not fire Nick today? I would fire Nick an hour ago and bring in Belichick, because you don't want to know why. Here we are saying, oh, well, you can't fire a head coach because it's going to be too disruptive. You're firing a head coach that doesn't do anything. What's the disruption? Get rid of him. Salvage the season while you can, because this is an unmitigated disaster.
All right, Mike, appreciate the call. A lot of truth in there. You know, what Mike was referring to was a Darius Slay tweet after the game, where Slay tweeted the following. This is so unbelievable, but he tweeted it. 150 PBUs, pass breakups and counting. 28 picks and counting. Six-time Pro Bowler. All pro. When you talk bad about me, don't forget to mention the greatness of me too. It's like
posted at 5:23, an hour and 23, when I'm pretty sure most people are still infuriated with the game.
I mean, there's a time and there's a place. That is not the time.
And then he set his account to private.
Yeah, that's bad. And then the Devin White thing. I mean, listen.
He's not really been part of the team,
no,
but you are getting a paycheck.
He should be cut by the Eagles, if not for anything else, just his actions yesterday on social media. But the only problem with cutting him is it feels to me very Ben Simmons-ish and James Harden-ish. I just think Devin White went to, this is just a guess, I can't prove it. I'm going to ask Sirianni about it tomorrow. I think Devin White went to social media yesterday intentionally to cause a stir and cause a problem to try to get cut. I mean, he got beat out by N'Kobe Dean. They don't view him as a good special teams player, so they deactivated him. He didn't make the trip to Brazil. And I think he's incredibly unhappy being deactivated 4 games in a row. Just a guess. He intentionally goes to social media pumping up a Bucks player with a strip sack on Jalen Hurts because he knows it probably increases his chances to get cut. So then do you reward the guy by cutting him? I mean, honestly, what I'd like to do is have the Eagles try to dock him a game's pay for conduct detrimental to the team. Now, I don't know what the NFL rules are for how stringent
that is.
Well,
I'm just saying,
I want to see the Eagles try. That's my point. I want to see the Eagles try. I doubt it works, but try. I mean, if you just cut the guy, you reward him.
Really bad.
And by the way, Howie, horrible job.
Hold on. Howie, terrible job.
Because he failed on the player as a player and the player with regard to character. He failed on both fronts.
That's why I think Howfrey might be moved into that second spot if we did that poll. I would like to vote for number one, Sirianni, number two, Howfrey, in terms of responsibility for this awful state that we're in.
Yeah, Howie deserves a lot of blame. All right, let's go to Tyler in Landenburg. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Tyler.
Hey, I think ultimately what we need to be looking at is the turnover battle week in and week out. You guys know that we haven't won the turnover battle since the Kansas City Chiefs of last year.
Yep. But I'll tell you this, Tyler. So every once in a while, a turnover is what I'll call circumstantial. Like a running back fumbles because he gets a big shot. Okay. These turnovers by the Eagles aren't circumstantial. They are a result of specific things. Defensively, the Eagles don't generate enough turnovers. Why? Because they don't generate enough pressure on the quarterback. That's the number one reason why they don't get more turnovers defensively. Yep. And then offensively, they spin them up because of the Eagles quarterback. That's what's going on.
Yeah, I think I got another question for you guys. Do you think Nick Sirianni is capping Kellen Moore? Because it looks like all of the same play call that we're used to seeing in the last couple of years.
A lot of that stuff, yeah, it feels horribly familiar. Like the short, the pass, the bump it out stuff. I don't know how much of that is, okay, we're putting these plays in with the RPO capacity and defenses are automatically moving us to the play that they prefer that we run.
Well, also, Tyler, I think one of the big disappointments of the season, and we haven't talked much about it, but, man, we talked a lot about in the offseason, put Jalen under center. Kellen Moore's here. Put him under center.
It's unbelievable.
Put him under center. Like, and you guys know my theory. He just hasn't done it, and I didn't expect it.
And I don't think he wants to do it.
I don't either.
That's I think, you know, we can take that leap now.
Like, I think one of the biggest problems with Jalen is Jalen does what he wants to do. I mean, that's very clear. That comment he made yesterday about we have our moments.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many issues there with him, but, like, and I'm more of a fan than you are.
Yep.
But I think certain things are not done because he just doesn't want to do them.
Yeah, I mean,
I think also the other biggest thing is that this is, I mean, everyone is soft on this team. Everyone makes the same comments. You got people going on the internet, like you were just talking about, trying to prop up their stats
and
everything.
I hate that so much, Tyler.
It's soft.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't like Vic Fangio taking over interim coach. I don't. But, like, maybe that would change some culture aspects if he did come in and did something. That's the biggest
thing. He's not soft.
Fix the culture. Make us the Philadelphia Eagles once again.
Okay.
That's what we need.
All right, Tyler. Appreciate the call.
I really do like that. Look, I do think it's a major disruptive week 5 firing of your head coach. Man, everyone's going to be coming out. The spotlight is on us in a real negative way. And I do think that can derail a season, potentially.
Look, the only...
But maybe it is the best thing. And by the way, Vic Fangio would bring toughness
to the attitude. We would not be out there standing up straight and missing tackles the way we did.
Well, hold on, John. Down in Tampa. He's in charge of the defense right now, and they're missing tackles.
Awful
I get that.
There's
it's a mental state. Our team was weak-minded in the heat. You know what it feels
but
like.
But that's
when
on
you're
Vic, right? His defense is out there. Like you can't say Vic would change that when his defense didn't change it.
Didn't have the guys to work with. I mean,
no, that's a different issue. That's a different issue. Look, I'm not inclined to fire Sirianni. I know it's tempting. I would only do it for one reason right now. If Bill Belichick would come in immediately. If Belichick comes in immediately, I'd have to fire Sirianni. But I tend to think Belichick's going to wait till after the season. So I don't see, I'm not saying it can't work by firing Sirianni, but I just see it more as a long shot. And I just would be inclined to not fire Sirianni unless Belichick can
come in. I think that's a really interesting point. The Belichickian availability.
Well, it's beating Dallas and the Giants to the chase.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what it is. There's a fine line
here. He's going to be coaching one of the three teams.
It's unlikely that he's going to uproot right at this point, but you have to get on that before the other teams do. So what's the sweet spot? When does that happen? It feels like week five absolutely supersedes any other team's attempts, but it's ridiculous to expect that he would be able to just say, okay, everyone else, I'm gone now.
I just tend to think that he wouldn't come in the middle of the year. It just would seem weird for such an accomplished coach. For what it's worth, I mean, in 79, the Phillies fired Danny Ozark and brought Dallas Green from the front office. And one of the theories with that was not only to try to light and fire under people's ass, but for him to evaluate the players down the stretch, for him to actually see in person, in the dugout, what do I got with these guys? So, you know, you can make a case. There's something to be said for that. This season, get a coach in here. What do I got with my guys? Who are they? What makes them tick? But I don't think you have to be the head coach of the team to do that. I mean, you get a better insight. But the reality is that it's very obvious that Bryce Huff is either A, not good enough, or B, not trying hard enough. I mean, it's one or the
he's
other.
He's trying hard.
He's sadder.
He's not big enough. He's not strong enough. He's not.
I've been rooting for the guy to not be trying hard. At least that might explain it. Let's go to Levert. Levert, you're on WIP.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, everybody.
What's up, buddy?
Hi, Levert.
I need everybody to just calm down, young people. Calm down.
That's hard to do, Levert. We got a season slipping away in front of our eyes.
You're hitting the panic button. We've had much worse years than this. Think about what we've had in the past.
Yeah, but we've had better years, Levert.
Yes, we have, but you guys, you're pulling the trigger too early. Just calm down.
Hey, Levert.
Take the temperature down a notch. I'm going to be the calm in the room.
Okay. Well, we'll try to convince me. The floor is yours. Convince us.
Okay. Listen, we got problems. We know we got issues. Firing Sirianni right here is not the answer. Bringing in Belichick right now is not the answer. You bring him in, who knows if he, God forbid, if at his age he's going to even be alive to coach next season. Okay?
Yeah, he's not that old, man. That's the old standard of age.
He's doing pretty well.
He looks fine. He sounds fine. The guy knows football. He didn't forget football. Look, he picked bad players for 3 or 4 years in New England, and that's why his team stunk, not because he doesn't know how to coach.
Okay, well, who's going to pick them here?
Well, Howie would
the
pick
front
them.
Office.
Now, the answer is Howie would pick them.
Howie's not doing a great job.
No, he's so not, but I'm not throwing Howie out.
Okay, all right. I'm not throwing anybody.
Is he on
out.
Probation?
At this point,
yeah,
right
Belichick
here,
gets 40%
right
of the
now,
say. Howie gets 60% of the say. That's probation.
I'm not throwing anybody out right here, right now. You guys, you're all down on Hurts. Yeah, he's screwing up. No doubt about it. But you got to realize the guy's been in a different system every single year. Come on.
I think it does matter to some degree. And I'm willing to grade this on a curve.
All right, Levert.
But it's not anywhere close to good enough. I expected after a month.
Levert, I want to ask you a question. We're going to do like when you're in third grade and the teacher would say, repeat after me. Now, if you don't agree, don't repeat after me. But I'm going to give it a shot, and then you give it a shot if you feel inclined. Jalen Hurts just isn't that good. You want to say it?
Not going to happen.
Okay.
Because I don't believe that.
Okay.
What I believe is the problem is coaching. And they're soft. They have not been coached up. They have no work ethic during training camp. None. okay? None whatsoever. And until they fix that crap right there, it's going to be the same stuff every year.
Well,
no matter who
I don't know that it's work ethic, Levert, if the coach is setting the schedule. You know, like I do think there's a problem in the way that they approach practicing. I don't think they do enough of it, and I don't think they do it in pads enough. But I think that's the coach's fault, not the players.
Look, I would tend to guess, I don't know, I don't follow the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in August. I would tend to guess they did not have 2-a-days, 2-hour practices, let's be in pads, and let's all, you know, smash into each other.
All right, but I guarantee they didn't do walkthroughs for 45 minutes every practice.
I wouldn't. Well, first off, the Eagles didn't do that. They didn't do 45-minute walkthroughs every practice. It's not accurate.
But you know they practice less than what was once accepted as the norm.
But I don't know
it's significantly so.
But I don't know that they practice less than most NFL teams. And by the way,
I actually kept an eye on this year in terms of Andy Reid, what he was doing down there in Kansas City.
That's one team.
It's a team that's been pretty successful.
Very successful.
Yeah, it's been up and down in the early goings too, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like Patrick Mahomes hasn't always been shooting the lights out this
4-0,
season.
4-0, though.
Okay, he has not been.
I'm aware, but they're 4-0.
Okay,
yeah,
and we're 2-2.
Yeah,
and that's
a bad 2-2. You can say they're a bad 4-0.
It's not,
but the Eagles are a bad 2-2.
They've gotten a couple of breaks.
Yeah,
in a couple other games. There's no
question.
And they lost another receiver. I think he's got an ACL. Maybe.
Yeah, it looks like a torn ACL.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, maybe the Eagles can trade Jahan Dotson to Kansas City.
Yes.
James, how bad is Jahan Dotson?
Dude, what a disaster.
Right?
I mean, even
third rounder, man.
It's crazy. You gave up a third round pick for this guy, and
he stinks.
He's been here for a month. He's been here for a month, and like, look, maybe part of it's on Jalen not finding him, but like, he's your quote unquote number one receiver going into this game. Like, you don't make plays for him, to like feature him, do something. It was he must be. It's a disaster. Like, just a horrendous trade.
All right, let me ask you a question here. I'm going to give three big attaboys to Howie for the offseason. Saquon, Quinyon Mitchell, and Mekhi Becton. It's not as big, but like...
And I would give a Zach Bond, okay.
Yeah, fair.
Sure.
Anything else? The whole offseason. Cooper DeJean, too early
Quinyon
to know.
Mitchell, great pick.
No, I know. I got those three.
Oh.
And then Cooper DeJean, too early to know.
Does
Howie Roseman get
with Isaiah Rodgers to preserve him from last year?
That's last year. That's not this offseason. Does Howie get an attaboy for anything else in the offseason?
No.
I mean, I can't think of it.
I'm sure he does.
Nothing comes to mind for me. I mean, maybe
and he has some big misses. I mean, like Bryce Huff is up there with his biggest misses ever so far.
I agree.
You know, Devin White, clear miss.
Disaster.
It's not been good.
It's not good at all. Let's listen. Couple lowlights from yesterday's game, and I hate to do it to you, but, you know, Merrill and Mike, the way they called the game, one of the big issues, obviously, was tackling or lack thereof. We highlighted one play that, you know, signifies one of many times they missed a bunch of tackles.
This time it's a quick pitch to Irving, and Irving breaks two tackles, takes it inside the 10 and down to the 6. Eagles are not tackling today. The tackling is terrible. Absolutely awful.
Not only not tackling, but they're just getting blown off the football.
Brutal. Just brutal. So too is the play by Isaiah Rodgers. By the way, Kevin Burkhardt, who's a good announcer, how many times did he have to say that Cooper DeJean fumbled the ball? He didn't fumble the ball. He never had the ball.
No, it was.
You can't fumble a ball if you didn't have the ball. I mean, someone in Fox just get in his ear and say, "Dude, stop saying that." Anyway, fiasco of a play by Isaiah Rodgers.
Cooper DeJean, the punt is away. It's end over end. DeJean will come up, call for a fair catch, hit the muff. And they're going to call a penalty on the Bucs hitting Cooper DeJean. It would have been recovered by the Bucs, but it looks like Josh Hayes, even though there was a fair catch signaled, ran into the punt returner.
The ruling on the field is there's no foul for fair catch interference, as that player was blocked into the receiver. The receiver subsequently touched the ball. That ball was recovered by the kicking team. First down, Tampa Bay.
Oh, my goodness.
Brutal.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding me?
Look, I would call that one of the two biggest bad plays of the game.
And that came right after, wasn't that right after the BG sack?
Like yes.
They had made a nice 14-0.
14-0, and that was a pathway to 21-0. That's one of the two worst plays of the game, and let's give you the other.
Dotson in motion. Hurts. Back. He is being rushed. He steps up. He's hit. The football comes loose, and the Bucks have it. I think his arm was going forward. I don't know. They're saying it's a fumble.
Lavonte David, the linebacker, he comes through hard, and he takes a shot from Saquon Barkley on the pass probe. That ball just has to come out, but when Jaden Cox is on to throw it, Lavonte David is right there to get the football out.
Look, I got to tell you this about Hurts.
He held it so incredibly long.
It was awful.
Tom Brady said nothing negative the entire game except eventually being like, you got to have better pocket presence than that. Like, that was like the most negative thing Brady said the whole game.
Brady was a disaster. He was not good. He is not a good announcer to this point. But let me just tell you this on Hurts. This is not one of those ones I wanted to be right on. I really mean that. I know some people are like, oh, DeCamber, you want to be right all the time. You know, you root against Hurts. I don't root against Hurts. I sit there and watch the Eagles game hoping the Eagles are going to win. Hoping Jalen will do great things. I'm not happy that it looks like I was probably right on Jalen.
Hold on.
But he's
a
really
kid who's still developing as a quarterback.
This is the part you
understand that a 26-year-old is still changing and developing as an athlete and as understanding
you ready?
Of the game.
Should we do it together?
$255 million.
Yep.
Yeah, so the kids.
And that's what quarterbacks get paid.
That's what some great quarterbacks get paid. That's what some quarterbacks
Sam
get paid.
Sam Darnold's on the Vikings right now because he didn't get that contract.
That's right.
And he had to kick around the league and he's made himself better and all that, but it's because he didn't get that contract.
Yeah, and my thing is if Jalen.
That is a major difference.
If Jalen figures it out 3 years from now, good for him. I'm not going to wait 3 years until he gets there.
It doesn't take 3 years.
Well, it may. It may never happen.
He had a bad game the week after it looked like
he's just
the
not a,
protection
he's,
and everything else was really coming together.
Guys, I'm so
he
ha, certain.
He was
I'm,
without his top.
No,
I mean, like,
that hurt.
The best player on the team, as you say, in A.J. Brown.
That's right. Yeah.
And Devontae Smith, who is an incredible
I'm
wide
well
receiver
aware.
Himself. The other team, smartly coached, knows that we were taken off of our game by a lot more than Jalen Hurts.
No, I agree with that.
Tampa.
But here's what I know. Here we go.
And he's not permanently the player that we saw in Tampa.
Okay, here we go. Going to make it real simple. Jalen's not that good.
And you don't know that.
No. I actually do know that. Let's go to the phones. Ken and Cinnamonson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
What's up, Ken? Frustrated on a lot of fronts, man. So, it's going to be a long season. Ken, as I said a couple weeks ago, they're going to have their eke it out, excuse me, ugly wins, and they're going to have their bad losses. That's what we got this year.
So I kind of get where LeVert's coming from because, I mean, really, most of the NFC is 2-2 right now. But, you know, John, do you realize that Jalen Hurts has now been the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles longer than Carson Wentz was? I mean, at what point did you stop referring to this guy as a quote-unquote young quarterback? Like,
well, how old is he?
I don't care how old he is.
Well, aren't we talking about age?
But Ken's talking about experience also.
We're talking about youth in terms of
age. You think he's an experienced quarterback?
Well, to a certain extent.
He's not.
John, it's his fifth year in pro football. He's 2 years from when your career... John, your career was over in 7 years.
How experienced is he in this offense, Joe?
In this offense?
Yes.
Well, part of it is from last year.
No, in this offense...
Well, no, I'm not going to. I'm not going to say.
Less than a year.
How experienced is Sam Darnold in the Vikings offense? What are you talking about?
Sam Darnold's been in the West Coast offense plenty of times. He understands the terminology. This is the first time Jalen's been doing
it. It's not a terminology issue. He doesn't scan the field effectively.
He told us it was 95%.
I don't care. Listen to what I'm saying. He doesn't scan the field effectively.
And how do we
quickly
know
enough?
The way the field is set up to be scanned by
because
Jalen.
I watch football.
We don't know the way the coaches determine his scanning.
You're getting into excuse
John,
mode. You're getting
really
into excuse
don't.
Mode. No, you are.
John, are you Jalen Hurts' agent and we don't know about this? John, how is it that he's in a different offense, quote unquote, every year, but he continues to make the exact same mistakes in a different offense every year? Wouldn't those mistakes change if the problem was that the offense is different every year? I mean, This is
not when it's
the guy.
We're talking
is.
About holding the ball too long. That is, he does that. It is a mistake. It is a problem that is born from inexperience. From
inexperience.
Not
Ken, here's where I'm at on trying to get Jalen to get the ball out quicker. It's like trying to get Matisse Thybulle to be a good scorer. It's just not going to happen. I mean, it might be improved a little bit, but he's just not good at it.
I don't even know what to say. Like, he has been the starting quarterback for this franchise longer than the guy he just replaced.
Yeah.
And John is still talking about him like he's inexperienced.
Look, Ken, I got you,
this offense.
I got you, buddy.
This offense is brand new as per Kellen Moore arriving in Philadelphia.
I don't subscribe to it the way you frame it. They run some plays they used to run. They run some new plays.
You're right, but it's all completely different terminology. It's all and by the way, what they're asking him to do this year, there's a lot more on his plate.
And I told you when they put more on his plate, he would not look good. I told you that.
Because there's more to learn. Because he's not good.
Because he's not good enough at it.
Of course he's not.
Yeah.
He's a young and developing quarterback, regardless of what you say. He is young and he is developing and he will continue to improve.
Well, he may improve. By the way, he's not continuing to improve. If he improves, that means he will improve. Right now, he is doing the opposite of improving.
Did he improve from week one to week two? I thought he did. I thought that the pass protection, the way that all came together was better.
He's inconsistent. He has moments.
Yes.
He has moments. But here's the thing. He doesn't have, like, Randall was inconsistent. But Randall had enough spectacular to justify Randall being, while he wasn't Joe Montana and John Elway, Randall was a legitimate top 10 quarterback in pro football for a good 7 or 8 years. Even though he had major deficiencies, Randall did the spectacular often enough that he netted out much more positive than negative.
Do you think that Jalen does not have the spectacular in him?
Not as much as he used to.
I think that Jalen has that in him. He needs to be permitted to run the football, which I don't think that is the case any longer. I think that we need to hand the football off also, which will help set up the things that you're talking about, him having more success in the passing game. It's all close. It's all right there. Like,
it's not.
It doesn't feel like it's right there, John.
It's not even close.
John, where you're wrong. If they come out of this bye and look different, which I expect, then where do you go? Do you say, okay, now that I see him looking better,
I'm encouraged. John,
right?
I'm going to ask you this question. A couple of times I've asked this question in recent weeks. I'm going to ask it again. What week within the season, if it still looks like this, are you going to say, okay,
I think this is
what it is?
A great week, Joe.
Next game?
Of course, coming out of a bye.
Just to be clear, I'm going to hold you to something. I'm going to tell you, cut this audio. Mm-hmm. If they play game five offensively, if he looks the same, you're telling me after the fifth game, you won't say this anymore.
Say what?
Defend Jalen Hurts at every turn.
Likely to get better, and he's young and developing, and all that stuff.
I'm not going to say he. I believe he is a developing player. Still, I will believe after week five he can still develop. I mean, that's absurd to say anything else.
Well, let me frame it a different way. When do you foresee that you will tilt toward, this guy's just not worth keeping much longer if he doesn't play better soon? When? I'm just asking.
When I see it.
Okay.